From Genetic Engineering and Biotechnology News, this is the GenCast Network. Bringing you compelling and in-depth interviews with the biotech industry's leading researchers, newsmakers, and thought leaders. This week on the GenCast Network, Dr. Michael Chang from the University of Pittsburgh School of Medicine is interviewed by Gen's editor-in-chief John Sterling about the discovery of a molecule that regulates heart size in a zebrafish model.
Dr. Michael Chang is an assistant professor in the Department of Microbiology and Molecular Genetics at the University of Pittsburgh School of Medicine. His research focuses on feedback regulation of fibroblast growth factor signaling. Dr. Chang, using a zebrafish model, you and your team reported on a fascinating study in the area of cardiology. What was your key discovery?
I think our key discovery was the identification of a chemical compound that can enhance fibroblast growth factor activity. Now, fibroblast growth factors are secreted proteins, and they regulate many processes depending on cell type and the context. For example, FGFs are known to regulate proliferation, play a key role in cellular survival, and can regulate differentiation. And given their important role, the signaling molecule must be tightly regulated. And so, for example, if you have too much activity or too little activity, you can have profound effects on developmental biology, for example, in embryology. To control for correct signaling levels, there are several proteins that actually limit FGF activity. And so one of these proteins is known as dual specificity phosphatase 6, or we call it a DUSP6 for short. And this protein functions to inactivate ERK, which is a key kinase and effector of the FGF pathway. And from our screen that we did, we found a compound that actually blocked DSP6, and so the net effect was to augment FGF activity.
What are the main implications of your study regarding research on the heart?
Heart formation is a very dynamic process, and work in many models from many groups using zebrafish, mice, and chick embryos has shown that FGF can play an important role in regulating heart formation. Our studies have shown that using a small molecule modulator of this pathway, we actually know within a limited time window what FGF does at this point in development. And so by treating embryos with BCI, which is the compound that we identified, we block DSP6 activity, and we get what we observe is that embryos with enlarged hearts. Now, these results are actually in line with what's been just recently described in mice that lack DSP6, and these mice also have enlarged hearts. But with our study, we were able to show within a specific time window when FGF signaling is important for controlling the population that's formed the heart, the cardiac progenitor pool. And so too much FGF activity as a result of BCI treatments, we get the larger pool of cardiac progenitors being specified, and eventually this translates into having larger hearts.
Based on the study, how might these findings be translated into clinical applications?
FGFs play a lot of roles in disease situations. In one instance, for example, FGF2 has been used as a growth factor to stimulate wound healing. Studies have shown that recombinant FGF2, also known as basic FGF, can significantly accelerate and improve wound healing, for example, in second-degree burns and in skin ulcers. And Kekken Pharmaceuticals in Japan have actually marketed basic FGF or FGF2, and they've sold it under the name Fibroblast. And they actually call this as the world's first regenerative drug. In identifying a molecule that augments FGF activity, we believe that treating with BCI along with FGF2 may enhance the wound healing process. Of course, you know, this is all speculation, and many years of research will be needed to determine if BCI can work in such a system.
How about translating your findings here for treatments of diseases of the heart? Are there any applications there?
Yes, actually there is. So I mentioned this DSP knockout mice. And in fact, under ischemic injury, these mice have less scar tissue after heart ischemia models. And so that would suggest that blocking DSP6 activity with a drug like this may actually improve cardiac repair after myocardial infarction. That's one idea that's worth thinking about.
Why was the zebrafish a good model for this research?
There are many reasons why zebrafish is an important model to study developmental biology and for growth factor signaling. To start with, the embryo is relatively small. It's less than 1 millimeter in diameter. In regards to developmental biology, the development is very rapid. And so, as an example, to go from a one-cell stage or from the point of fertilization to an embryo that has a heartbeat and where we can study how the heart develops, this only takes about 24 hours. And by 2 days, the larvae are free swimming. So you can imagine that they must have all their organs in place that are required for survival in the wild within this short period of time. Another reason is that zebrafish, for the first 28 hours, are transparent. These embryos are transparent. And so you can actually follow every cell as the embryo develops. You can actually watch how these organs form in a very rapid time frame. The key to our research was that we were able to generate transgenic embryos that express green fluorescent protein, or GFP, under the control of FGF activity. And so that allowed us to actually watch in live embryos when FGF was active and where it was active. And for our screen, this was ideal because we can put these embryos into 9612 plates, add small molecules to these embryos, and actually watch if FGF activity is shut down or if FGF activity is enhanced. And our assay was rapid in terms of that we can add our compound, and within as little as 6 hours, we can see the effects. And so this sort of aided us in a great deal of using zebrafish.
So my final question is, what experiments do you have in mind to move this research forward?
We've identified this compound, BCI. I think it's a lead compound in terms of inhibiting GSP6. We would like to continue and sort of, you know, synthesize related analogs. And so we're collaborating with Dr. Billy Day's group, and we're synthesizing new compounds related to BCI in hope of getting better potency or better specificity. And we want to test, you know, BCI and their related analogs in some models of wound repair. In regards to screening, I think we only just, you know, screened a minimum of about 5,000 compounds. And so I think in a sense, we were very lucky to find BCI in such a small screen. But you can imagine that we could screen many more compounds and hopefully find novel compounds that either enhance or block FGF signaling. And one of the hindrances to this was that we did the screen manually. So we had Gabrielle Molina in the lab that performed this task of dispensing embryos into 9612 plates, adding compounds, and actually looking at each well after 6 hours. And we're trying to improve the technology where we can teach a computer how to read an embryo in a 9612 plate, identify where GFP is expressed, and give us a quantitative amount of how much GFP is expressed in these embryos. And we've come a long way to developing technology that actually can do this. So we have software program that could actually visualize, pick out the zebrafish embryo in a 9612 plate, find the GFP spots in this embryo, and measure how much GFP is expressed. And so in the future, we believe that we can, you know, screen tens of thousands and maybe even hundreds of thousands of compounds in an automated process.
I'm John Sterling. Thanks for listening. If you would like to comment on this week's podcast, please go to our podcast section at www.genengnews.com and give us your thoughts. We'd really like to hear from you. Bye for now.
To learn more about topics discussed in this GenCast, or to listen to previous GenCasts, visit our website at www.genengnews.com. New GenCasts are posted every week, Thursday, 5 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. For the Gen Publishing editorial staff, I'm Jonathan Ellinghaus, saying thanks for listening, and be sure to tune in again next week to the GenCast Network.